you're going to have more losses and tough times than wins, and you have to be okay with that.
I feel the exact same way with that.
When we first started, we put very minimal efforts in social media, believe it or not.
Wow, that's insane. It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. And today I have a very special guest. Please welcome Alina, the founder of ESW Beauty. Alina, thank you so much for joining me on Loud Talk today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to chat with you. So just to get started here, I really want to get to know you and more about your journey and everything. So can you just tell us a little bit about you, maybe your upbringing and all of that?
Yeah, sure. Of course. So a little bit about myself. I grew up in New Jersey and I founded ESW Beauty when I was 22. And the reason was because I wanted to combine my two passions, better for you foods and beverages, and also skincare. And I guess just a little rewind on, you know, the idea of entrepreneurship. I grew up in a family where my mom was always an entrepreneur. So I looked up to her. And for me, it was always something that I knew I wanted to do. I remember when I was 16, you know, I would go with my mom to a lot of these different business meetings, and I would be there to be an assistant and take notes. And, you know, I just knew that I wanted to create something and build something one day. And I just wasn't sure what it was. But then throughout college, I started experiencing different stomach ulcers and health issues. And that inspired my wellness journey. And I started eating better and drinking better and falling in love with different healthier beverages like raw juices. And I fell in love with skincare, especially sheet masks as well. So these two things combined together sparked the vision for my first line, the raw juice inspired sheet masks. Until today, that is actually one of our most best-selling and notable product lines. And that's how I started my product line in 2019. And then since then, we now have grown to multiple different products, from lip treatments to facial tools to sheet masks. And we're actually launching a new product line next month, which is super exciting.
That is so exciting.
Thank you. And then you can find us in stores like Target, Whole Foods, Free People, World Market, and a variety of different retailers.
Wow, that is such an amazing journey, and I want to deep dive into all of that. Congrats on, like, I saw your post on socials regarding like the launch in Target. Like, that's so cool. So congratulations on all of that. It's so amazing what you've been able to grow in just 4 years of doing this brand. You mentioned college. So what did you actually take in college?
So I took business. I went to Babson College. It's a school in like in Wellesley area, and it was just a business school, which is actually very interesting. I kind of wish I went to a university where there were different colleges, so I was exposed to people who went to all different types of schools, but I loved it a lot. And, you know, I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So Babson is actually very known for entrepreneurship and their programs, and it gave me a lot of foundational courses in business, and I think that helped me a lot. And then I took a year off actually to work on ESW Beauty. And so that's kind of how the whole journey started. The last year was tough. My senior year of college, I remember, because I started the business when I was like, when I took a year off in Jersey. So I remember in my senior year of college, I would go back and forth from Jersey to Wellesley, to Massachusetts, which was like a 4.5 hour drive. And I would go back and forth every week because I had some members of my team in Jersey and, like, you know, a few other things I had to do there. So it was just a lot to balance school and the start of the business. I think that was one of the hardest years. But I mean, since then, it's been good. Every year was a new challenge, I guess. Mm-hmm. After that, it happened. And then that was another journey. And then after that, you know, just the first few years of building the brand and, you know, moving into New York was a whole journey too last year. But, you know, it's fun. It's a lot of figuring it out step by step.
Yeah, I feel like with entrepreneurship in general, that's kind of the day-to-day go of just like, okay, what's the next problem in front of me and how do I go from there? I think social media kind of skews the perception on entrepreneurship and makes it seem like everyone, has everything figured out and it's just like, you're making sales and you're running your business, but I think the reality of it is not always that. I can definitely relate to the struggle of balancing school and business. This was my lot like my senior year of university, and with like this is also the most that I've worked outside of school, so it was definitely a challenge. So I think that kind of made me want to like graduate faster, be like, okay, I want to get this done so I can just focus on my businesses after. But it's definitely a grind, but definitely very admirable that you were able to build this up and work on it while in school. Did you find like going to a entrepreneurial like business school, a lot of your classmates were also, running businesses kind of at the same time? Like, did you have like a support system there, people that you could kind of relate to? Or were you more like one of the only students kind of starting the business while still in college?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was like amazing about Babson. It was very common for people to have their own startups, start their own company, talk about their ideas. Even alumni, there are a lot of people who start businesses like straight out of college. So for me to be doing what I'm doing wasn't anything surprising at all. And it was a very great network and a really good community supporting me. So not everyone did it. I think a lot of people, I don't have like a straight number for you, but I wouldn't say most people did it. But for me to do something like that wasn't something unnormal at all.
Got it.
I think there were a lot of people that were cheering me on. Definitely like a lot of doubters in the beginning. My own mom, even though she was an entrepreneur and she was like my first inspiration, I think she was very much not like my biggest supporter in the beginning because she knew how hard it was. I think she wanted me to get a corporate job and build the, foundational experience before I jumped into it. But I can definitely say that she's definitely the proudest. Seeing how I was able to grow and build ESW Beauty to the way that, we've grown since like 5 years ago.
I love that. I think, yeah, with parents, like, I can relate there too. I think my parents, although like biggest supporters, they also were like just wanting to make sure that I was good, and had something stable. And I think whenever you're doing something on your own, there is that risk there. And they're more coming from a place of like, they want to make sure you're good and they're, just worried about you. But of course, they're also gonna support you. But I definitely get like the doubt and stuff. Did you have people in your life, like let it be like family, friends, or just acquaintances that that doubted the business and now are like coming back around and being like, wow, like congrats on, everything you're doing. Did you have that? And how did you handle those types of situations?
Oh yeah, definitely for sure. I think for me, I wasn't someone who was like, even though I had supporters, I don't think I was someone who was super vocal about what I was doing. I think because like I took a year off, so a lot of my friends already graduated. So the fifth year, I was pretty much not on campus. I was only there for classes and I just was back and forth, back and forth. So it was very much just hustling and focusing on my own thing. But I would say that, when I started, growing and making the posts and, being more like vocal on social media, I can, there were definitely, people reaching out and saying like, oh, like it's been a while. Congratulations. And I always welcome that. I love that. I think that's amazing to be able to reconnect again, but it's always a very interesting message when I do see that. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we haven't spoken in a couple years.
Yeah, definitely. And when you did start out, like, so what you obviously talked about, like, how you experienced like stomach ulcers while you were in college, and that kind of inspired the whole idea. But I'm always curious about this with any brand. So what inspired the name?
ESW Beauty. So it's a very personal brand for me. ESW is my initial, so Alina Sophia Wang. And it's very much like what I'm passionate about. I love skincare and I love beverages and food. Up until now, everything is a beverage. So it's like raw juice or it's like plant-based milk, meaning, for example, a vanilla oat milk. mask, smoothie lip treatments. I've always loved the idea of mixing beverages and foods and skincare. I feel like there's such an opportunity for that. So every single product line is so personal and something that I want to improve upon. So I wanted it to be very personal and connected to myself. And so that's why, essentially, that's why, I know it's a very like, it's like, oh, your initials. But I just thought, like, for me, it's oftentimes like in the middle of the night, like I'll just brainstorm and think of an idea, and then I'll write it down and I'll send it to my co-founder and I'll be like, all right, this is what we're going to be doing, launching next year. That's going to be it. So I think because it's such a personal brand, I wanted it to reflect that on the name.
Yeah, no, I love the name. I think it's nice that it has like a bit of that personal touch to it, but I think it has a good ring to it as well. And you mentioned you had a co-founder. So when the brand started out, was it just like you and then you brought someone else on? Did you guys start it together? Did you self-fund the company? I'm always curious, like the early stages of the brand, how that started.
Yeah, so we self like funded it from the very beginning. No investors. We bootstrapped up until today.
Wow.
Basically, yes, it was very, very tough. We had very little like in savings, just probably a few thousand dollars. I had this idea, and my co-founder, very, very intelligent guy. Both of us have our own strengths. I'm definitely someone who's very creative. I know product, I know skincare very well. And I understand the brand and how to create a brand. And for him, he's very analytical. He runs a lot of the operations, supply chain, finance. And then for us together, we're able to build the brand and, work towards our strengths. But what happened was, we had this idea and we decided, you know what, we weren't 100% confident if it was going to work. So we said, let's just take a $25,000 bank loan
Okay.
and do samples. We brought it to a trade show called Cosmoprof, which is one of the most well-known beauty trade shows in the industry. We went in the summer of 2019 and we made a booth. We went there. And then we received a pretty sizable PO, like a purchase order from a buyer from Kohl's, actually. It was about 100 grand. And that's
Wow.
what confirmed there is interest. There is like, there's definitely a wide space in the market. Let's just move forward. And that's how we decided, let's continue and go full force and create the brand.
I love that. And thanks for explaining that, because I think, again, with social media, we often see like the early like start days and then like the big successes, but a lot of that like hustle and struggle and really hard work in the middle is sometimes lost in the mix. So I really appreciate you opening up about that and just being so transparent about it. And honestly, like hearing your story with your co-founder, it was almost like looking in the mirror, because I have the exact same kind of working dynamic with my co-founder. I'm definitely like the creative, the like, idea, product development, the skincare enthusiast, and then he does like all the
Tell me about your
operations,
business. I love
back
to hear
end,
about yours.
finances. Sorry?
No, I love to learn more about your business.
Oh yeah, for sure. I can tell you like all about it. Like after as well. We launched back in September. We're really trying to create the most efficient skincare system out there that's just easy for the person on the go. We're both engineers. We both come from an engineering background. So really trying to like target the person that is like on the go in the 9 to 5 that doesn't have time for like an extensive skincare routine, but we still want to hit those like key points. And I think right now in the skincare industry, it's so like you need 10 steps and you need all these things and different ingredients and all that. And we're really trying to maximize the benefits by just creating a more minimalistic and like least steps possible routine. But it's interesting how you explained that dynamic, because that's the exact same working dynamic we have, where he's definitely like operations, finances, like really back end, and then I do like all the product development and socials and all that. So it's just funny how that comes about. But it's good, like I think having, as you mentioned, like the strengths of each person is so helpful. And I'm sure you can relate to this, but oftentimes like with the work he does, I'm like, thank God, because I do not want to like touch any of that stuff. And then the other way around, he's like, I don't know how you just like always come up with content, different ideas. I'm like, it's just like come so naturally to me. So I think it's so nice to have like that complementing dynamic there.
That is so true. And it's so funny because over the years, as I've spoken to different founders or co-founding teams,
Yeah.
it's the exact dynamic, like
Really?
exact dynamic. And it works so well too. Like, and we have our strengths, they have their strengths. And like, there are some people who they're a single founder who can do everything
Yeah.
themselves. Wow. I mean, props to you, but I don't know how you do that. But yeah, I mean, him and I, we have the same conversation. He's so good at what he does, and he does it so well. And already there's so much on his plate, and there's so much on my plate just to do
Yeah.
what so well and manage our teams. But we both have our own strengths, and he says the same thing. He's like, yeah, I don't know how you come up with these ideas or these products and like, the branding, and like, I think also part of our roles, both of us, is building relationships with people too. That's important. And I'm like, I don't know how you do what you do. And like, I mean, we could if we had to,
Yeah.
but glad that you do it,
Absolutely. Like I feel the exact same way with that. Like just even just a blank like example, like anything supply chain or like getting new orders in and all of that, like I can do that, but I just feel like I can way more better utilize my time like working on a piece of content or like doing something more creative. Or like even going out and when we do like our markets and like pitching to people. Whereas for him, he's like, how do you just do that so naturally? But then like he's such a good like resourceful person where I'm like, okay, I have this idea, but I don't know how we're gonna get there. And he's like, I'll figure out the research behind it. Like you focus, so it makes such a good dynamic and you can really focus your efforts on like your true strengths rather than like trying to make up for them and the weaknesses. And it's nice to have like I think a team and just someone to like talk to, especially when like times get rough. I mean, I'm only like in the first year of operations, so we're definitely very, very small. But even this, like just the small hiccups that have come up, it's like, okay, we're in this together. How are we gonna make it work? So it's very inspiring to see like you, like, 5 years later, kind of have that story. It's definitely a huge inspiration to me. Out of curiosity, how many people do you have on your team now?
15 people.
Wow, that's insane. And how was that like bringing on the first person and not just now being a founder, but also kind of leading a team and having people work for your brand. Like, did that feel like a lot of pressure to you? The fact that, like, the success of your brand, you're kind of people are like relying on you for their jobs.
Definitely. I would say it definitely is a lot of pressure and responsibility, but I don't really let that cast a shadow over me day to day. I
Okay.
really embrace it, and I feel like, I think about it as, you're a mom. Like, it's a lot of fun. I take care of them, but like, they just like what you said before, they are amazing. Like, having a team is so incredibly like fulfilling. And it's so nice to have people that you can rely on and, good people that you can work with. Having a good team, like you can find anyone, you post a link posting on LinkedIn and you can find people. I think having a good team is very hard. And I'm very grateful. I have a very solid team right now. But our first team member, up until today, she's our most senior team member, and she is the one who, like, I love her so much. She is our senior graphic designer, and she designs most of the products that you've seen right now. And we talk every single day, and she knows the brand to the core. So she started as like a part-time graphic designer, and then she became a full-time graphic designer, and then now senior graphic designer. So we're the same age, and we really understand each other so well, have a really great working dynamic, and are pretty much like good friends. But over the years, I think I hire team members based on need based. This year especially, we've brought on a lot and opened up new roles. And I think it's very interesting when you open up new roles, because it's such a like interesting thought process. You start realizing I can no longer do this myself,
Right.
or this person can no longer handle this job. We need to hire someone else to share the work with this person, or we need to hire someone to support this person. And you know, okay, I need to open up this role. And you're learning yourself too, because maybe you used to do this job and now you need to learn how to manage this role. So it's such a big learning experience. But I think when you're able to find someone who understands that you're opening up the role and that they have a startup mentality and they're open-minded to learn and to work with you together, that's when it works out very well. So I'm still learning today, but I'm very grateful for my team. It works out very well. We have a pretty good hybrid system. Most team members are between New York and New Jersey. I myself am in New York. Our warehouse and office is in New Jersey, so we meet like around like once every 2 to 3 weeks. But we're constantly talking. Like we have a WhatsApp. We use G Suite, and like we're always talking. We're always sharing like ideas and like, thoughts, things like that in our group chats, always calling and talking. And it's a very dynamic team, which I love a lot. So it's the best. And I'm very grateful. And I'm excited to see how we grow from here on. And it makes me nervous because I think, wow, like 15 is such a cool number, and it's a lot to manage. Like, how do you manage a team? I ask other founders, how do you manage a team of like 25 or 30? Like, how does that work? Like, how is that possible? Obviously, they figured it out, but it's fun.
Yeah, no, and I mean, like, me being like in the very, very early stage, I'm looking at you and I'm like, how do you manage 15? So I think, like, with each person that comes on, you just kind of like grow with it. And I think, again, like what I mentioned earlier with entrepreneurship as a whole, you just kind of figure it out with each day that passes. And speaking of that, I think, as I said before, on social media, I don't think all sides of entrepreneurship are shown, and a lot of like the highs are shown, and there's just not like a really good like reality picture, especially for someone who isn't an entrepreneur kind of looking in. So what are the top things that you've learned throughout your journey that you wish people knew more about when it comes to actually being a brand founder?
That's a really good question, and that's so true. I often say that because even me personally, I really only post sometimes here and there. I'll post behind the scenes, but I've also realized that if I just post the behind the scenes of what I do every single day, it's just me, like my hair in a bun and sweats and just being stressed out. So yeah, I only share when I'm, saying, oh, we just launched a Target, or we just, launched at this store. But I would say, like, you're going to have more losses and tough times than wins, and you have to be okay with that. And that's just the reality of that. Like, there will be a lot more times where, you will feel defeated just because that's how life is. But you just have to know how to keep persisting and not letting that like set you down. I really think with entrepreneurship, what sets people apart is, just persistence. Just keep going. Like for me, there were so many times where I could just give up. There were times where I just said I had it. Like, this is so tough. I talked to my co-founder. Can we get through this? Like, how is it possible we can make this shipment happen? How is this possible we can make this, financial situation happen? How can we navigate this situation? Like, can we do it? But sometimes he'll say it to me, but one of us will always like will have to be the ones to stay positive. Just keep persisting. I think that's so important, and also I think it's you really need to be humble and constantly be learning all the time. That's so important. Like for me, even a very simple thing, like I never was on social media before. I always understood the concept that as a brand, especially a brand nowadays where, in beauty too, when your customer demographic is younger, you want to be able to have a founder who's on social media, who connects with your audience. I knew that, but it was something that always scared me. But I realized that I had to teach myself, I had to get over it. So this year I really just started posting more and started just doing reels and just doing silly content. And just started pushing myself. And I think that's content is a very simple example of it, but all around entrepreneurship, you have to constantly be self-learning, teaching yourself, not thinking that you know it all, and being humble.
Right. Definitely. And a big question I have for you is, does like the imposter syndrome ever go away, or does it just kind of keep growing? So even like for you, like your brand is doing extremely well. You have 15 employees. Do you still feel kind of that imposter syndrome on a day-to-day?
All the time, all the time. Like I still walk into a room and I always think like there's like I'm the smallest person in the room. First of all, many times I'm 26. Many, many times I walk into the room, I'm probably the youngest person in the room. But all the time. Sometimes I do take a step back and I will talk to people and nowadays, like they will say, yes, I understand. I'm in all these retailers, which is amazing. I reflect, I do see the hard work, but it never stops. And for me, the
Yeah.
imposter syndrome, like it never goes away. But I do think that, it's important to find that balance, to have the confidence and know that I worked so hard to get to where I am. And it's clear that. It's so exciting that I can go to these stores and see my products on shelves.
Right.
But also, again, going back to my earlier point, to stay humble and to always be like understanding that I have to remain this way if I want to continue to succeed and to grow and develop in life.
Right, like almost like it feeds, into the drive that pushes you further
Exactly.
to keep going. Yeah, and I think that's like one thing I hear so much, like when I interview different founders, it's always like there's always no like end goal. It's that goalpost just keeps moving with every accomplishment you hit. It's like, okay, where can I go from here, and what's the next thing I can do? So, definitely very inspiring there. I'm very curious about, because you mentioned that you're kind of now more posting on social media as a founder and all of that. When the brand started, did you guys focus a lot of your marketing efforts into social media? Or what other like avenues did you take? Because I know social media has like obviously been like a huge rise for a lot of brands in the past like 4 or 5 years, which is like how long your brand's been around for.
Yeah, so when we first started, we put very minimal efforts in social media, believe it or not. So it's actually so funny. We relied most of our marketing and just word of mouth. Like
Okay.
our products were found in stores, and that's how customers initially found us. They were in stores like Kohl's, and then we got into stores like Free People and Anthropologie, and then we worked with a lot of different independent stores. So you can find us, at that time, like spas and fashions, like fashion main street boutiques, cafes, coffee shops, things like that. People picked our product up. I think it's the packaging that attracted them. They loved it. Then they tried it out. They loved the products. Then they became a loyal fan. And then from there, they told their friends and family. And I think that's really the initial way that people gravitated towards our products. We did, of course, have social media, but
Yeah.
I never posted myself personally at all, like the way I do now, really until the past year.
Okay.
And in the beginning, we didn't really heavily push. We just did a very standard, like, couple posts per week, no meta ads, none of that, and just relied heavily on having our customers find us in stores. But I think that really does say and is true to the fact that our products have good quality and they have that initial attraction to the customer, which is very important.
Totally.
So I think now with the marketing and with the other, other extra push, it only adds to the attraction.
Yeah, no, totally. And then with the products themselves, so obviously you kind of talked about like the initial inspiration behind the products, but when you launched, like what was the market like, and How do your products like fully differ from like other, for example, like masks on the market? I know you mentioned like the incorporation of kind of the drink names and all of that, but in terms of like the product benefits, what was like a key differentiator there?
Yeah, so our first line, the Raju sheet masks, they all have clean formulas. So for me, it was very important that clean beauty obviously is very important, but there's always a stigma with clean skincare. You know, every single brand has a different, ingredient list. We
Definition, yeah.
reviewed Whole Foods Body Care Standard, we reviewed EWG, we reviewed Credo, we reviewed many different guidelines, and we really consolidated. Followed most of the guidelines that made sense and ensured that it had all non-toxic ingredients. They're all vegan, cruelty-free. We are Leaping Bunny and PETA, PETA vegan certified, and they're all sustainable as well. So our masks are fully compostable.
Wow, yeah, that's
And
cool.
yeah, so they're made with a fabric called Cupra, which is actually a form of, or it's actually a part of cotton that is recycled, form of cotton liner that's recycled. So it's fully compostable and you can compost it in a at-home composter, or an industrial composter, and it's biodegradable as well.
That's super cool. I did not know that. That's super cool. Did you guys originally like launch them that way, or has this been like more of a development over time?
So they were originally biodegradable. And then over the years, we reworked the formula and we relaunched them as compostable in 2022.
Super cool. And then how far, like, so that was the first line, and then how long did it take to release like new products or innovate like new ideas?
So we launched our facial tools line and it had our Jade Roller and our Gua Sha in 2021. So it was pretty quiet between 2019 and 2021. I think partly because of COVID, a lot of transition. But then in 2022, we launched our plant-based milk sheet masks. And then last year, we launched our smoothie lip treatments. And then this year, we have two product launches back to back coming up soon, which is super exciting. So that is something that our team is working on heavily right now. And it's a product category. So that is launching in actually in about a month. So we're
That is
working
so cool.
content, a lot of photo shoots behind the scenes. That's something that we've really worked hard on, doing a lot of testing back and forth with the labs and samples this past year. And then in November we have another line launching, which is super fun as well.
That is so exciting. I hope those launches go really well. I'm excited to see like all the photos and everything on social media. And it's just so cool to hear about like the full journey and how it started. Are you able to share a time? You don't have to give like any specific details, but just for anyone out there that, is maybe thinking of starting a business and is kind of scared of those like tough times that may come up, are you able to share an experience where if this has happened to you where you didn't feel like the brand would make it, or you weren't sure if you could keep going with it, could you share an experience like that if you've had one and how you kind of overcame that?
Yeah, probably COVID because we just launched. Like, what happened was we had the idea. So, the whole timeline in, I think, like early 2019, we made the samples, went to Cosmoprof in July 2019, got the POs, got the orders, and we produced them. And they launched in January of 2020. We actually got a good amount of orders to set like Anthropologie, Free People. We got like Saks OFF 5TH, we got like Terrain and a few other retailers too. And March 2020 came around. I remember we had one more photo shoot. Actually, it literally was a couple days before they announced the COVID shutdown. And all of the stores, they came back and said, we will need to cancel all of the orders, which made sense, obviously, because the stores are closing.
Wow.
And for us, you know, that was our lifeline.
Yeah. No
So,
kidding.
and in my personal life too, you know, I had to come back from school. So there was a lot to rework at that time. And we already took out the bank loan and actually We had to take out a second one too to make a couple things work out. So it was very tough. That was probably the hardest time. And you know what? We just kept persisting, my co-founder and I. We didn't give up. We didn't, spend too much at that time. We just took it slow and steady, which is why in 2020 and 2021, we didn't really have exponential growth, but we decided to just be slow and steady, take it one at a time, and we made it through. Stores opened up again in the summer of 2020, so they began taking the products again. And then in the summer of 2021, we went back out and did trade shows. And that's when we started getting orders. And we launched in July 2021 at Whole Foods. And our launch at Whole Foods was when we began really propelling and had some serious growth with the brand. And since then, it's when things really picked up. So I think that one year was pretty tough for us, quiet, but I think that, if we went through that, I feel like we can make it through anything, to be honest. That was definitely a very, very tough time. I was trying. I think for a lot of brands, they either did very well or it was very tough. And for us, it was hard, especially because we were basically like a few months in, but I'm glad that we made it through and we stayed.
Totally. Yeah, I can definitely understand how that would have been a very trying time, as you said. Especially because from the sounds of it, like you guys were mostly focusing on like in-person retail, rather than online. I think the distinction there where you said like during COVID, either brands like really, really did well, or it was the opposite. I think for a lot of the e-commerce brands during COVID, because I talked to a founder on this podcast a few months ago, who like COVID really helped boost their brand during COVID because they were all e-commerce, where I can definitely imagine the opposite for you. Was there issues there with like, especially because it's skincare, did you guys have to like cancel a bunch of those orders or delay them? Did you have to kind of take the cost for like lost product due to those orders being delayed? What did that kind of look like?
So we made one major order and it was already on the boat shipping over. So we took it and we had it in the warehouse. We just didn't make any orders until things got a little bit better. So it wasn't any like major cause. We were still selling. We just were selling a little slower than we anticipated, but our suppliers understood too. I mean, they knew it was COVID. I mean, their own manufacturers. I mean, our suppliers are in South Korea, and Asia was a lot stricter than US was. I mean, they opened up a lot later too. So I feel like they totally understood, but it was a tough time for everyone. And I mean, I'm glad that we're over it and we're here and thriving.
Totally.
So, yeah.
And I'm curious, so you said that growing up, you saw your mom as an entrepreneur, you knew that that's kind of the route you wanted to take, which I think is definitely a very like unique experience, especially in our generation. I do think a lot of kids growing up, they go to university and it's kind of like the usual progression of going to like a corporate 9-to-5 job. But for someone who maybe saw more of that corporate 9-to-5 job growing up and is thinking about doing something different and going down the entrepreneurial route, what are the top things that you would suggest that that person like look for in themselves to know if they are suited for the entrepreneurial career path?
Are you saying like if they don't want to do 9 to 5 and they want to do entrepreneurship in college, or if they already did the 9 to 5 and they want to do entrepreneurship?
Like either or, but I guess what are like the key qualities that you think an entrepreneur needs to have to be able to thrive in that environment, especially for someone who hasn't been in it before and is coming from like more of the traditional route?
You have to be very comfortable with being uncomfortable. Like that's something that I had to just digest and be okay with. But I think my co-founder had a tougher time dealing with it. Now he's very, like, he's great. He's like fine with it. But for him, he originally was going to medical school, actually. And he's very, and it really makes sense for him. And he's very, very book smart. He got pretty much like a 98% on his MCATs. So you can tell what type of person he is.
Totally, yeah.
That's something that had to be very, like, it took him a while to adapt to, but being comfortable with being uncomfortable, like, and that could be many things. Like, it could be financially, because as an entrepreneur, your financials go up and down all the time. And, you hear crazy stories from, entrepreneurs who've sold their businesses for hundreds of millions of dollars, to like the Mark Cubans, to, like all different types of founders. And these people, they've said things like they've pulled their bank account, their personal bank accounts have gone to like $10 at one point, or, they've like literally had to pull mortgages or things like that. And for an entrepreneur, like, not that you want this to happen on a daily basis, but you just have to understand that things will come back again. But at the same time, you will have highs of highs too. So that's just like in a financial example. But I mean, even in like just like personal life too, like workload, there will be many times that you will be working pretty long hours, longer hours than your peers. And you also get a lot of flexibility too. Like, for example, you might not have PTO restrictions. You can go anywhere you want at any time. No one's telling you what to do. But, you will have to be okay with being uncomfortable, be working those long hours to get a project done, or just to be able to, ensure your team is all set and they have, you're giving them the direction. Comfortable, like, for example, so many fires that you have to be putting out all the time. Like, manufacturer can tell you something along the lines of, originally they were finishing a production round at June 1st, and now because of some delay, because of some natural disaster, which is very unfortunate, maybe they now need to get it done July 1st. But
Right.
ready according to your projections, and you have a retailer who needs it, whatever, August 1st and or September 1st, and calculating shipping time, it's not getting there on time. And the retailers, they're like the ones that are the holy grails. They're the ones that are paying you. So you need to figure that out. You
Yeah.
need to do some negotiations. You gotta like make some magic happen. And those are all things where you suddenly just get it's going to stress you out. So
Yeah.
I think being uncomfortable and just being okay with it. Nowadays, I see those texts coming in or those emails coming in. They're just like, oh, okay. Like my mom, she always taught me, like she always says it in Chinese, just like, yeah, which basically means like just like eating rice. You get an email like just like eat rice. It's just like deal with it. It's fine. You'll get it. You know what I mean? Like it's fine. That's just how it is. And I don't think everyone is suited for that, or
Right.
everyone has type of heart, that kind of tough heart to deal with that, because it's very stressful. And it's a lot to think about. So I think that's one. But I think two, it's just the stamina and endurance is a big thing as well. Like, I think oftentimes 9 to 5, like, or the corporate life, depending on what role it is, like there could be flexibility, but with entrepreneurship, like you need to have the endurance and the stamina to keep going. Like when it's really hard, like it's not easy, you can just put in 2 weeks and quit. It's not that easy. Like your lifeline is on that. You have your team, and like your like maybe you have loans, or like you have, other things. Like everyone has a different situation, but you're taking care of all these people, 15 people. Now other people have 100 people, and you need to like have that responsibility. You need to be able to have that endurance to just keep going. I think those are all things that you have to think about. Like sometimes when you start a company, it's not just it's so fun, I want to start a business. To understand how hard it can be, and just can you take that responsibility, I think. But those are all things that I don't like have to think about every day. And I think if you get into it and you're passionate enough and you have that drive, like naturally, like you'll just be okay with it.
Yeah, no, those were some great points there, and I think, especially with what you said on that. When you're a founder, like you do have all these people relying on you, and you can't just hand in your 2 weeks in the hard times. And I think too, like with
Yeah,
a nine to
sometimes
five
it's
job,
like, oh my God. I just hand in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But you can't. You
No,
really
you, yeah.
can't, you
And I
know?
think too, like the unpredictability of it all, like, you know, in a 9-to-5, like things might get tough. And obviously, like layoffs happen and stuff, but for the most part, it's like you're getting your salary at the end of your two, you know, at the end of the month or whatever it is, kind of regardless. But I think when you're in the founder position, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's like there's more unpredictability of like, okay, when is that? Like, obviously, there's salaries and stuff involved, but there's just more unpredictability of how the business is gonna go and how revenue is gonna be and all of that. So, I can definitely imagine how that can be stressful. And I thank you for opening up about that because I think, again, that's just something that's not shared very often. And I remember I refer to this all the time because I think it really opened my eyes to how a lot of people don't see this side of like running a business. Like you said, like people want to open a business for the fun of it and they're like, oh, I'll have a business and I'll make some money, but it's not always like that. And I remember when I launched my brand, and this comment has stuck with me obviously because it kind of, you know, tickled to get me a little bit, but someone said, you know, oh, like you just started this brand to make money, and it made me laugh a bit because I'm like, the amount of money I put into this brand, like I'm not gonna see any penny from this for a while. Like
Yeah.
it's gonna be a minute here, and
Yes, sure.
especially when it's
That's the,
self-funded. Yeah.
yeah. You will be in the very beginning, like pouring cash in. But
Yeah.
that's how it is. You know, you will see your, you will see the returns, but that's, it's just because of the competition.
Yeah.
By a lot of people who've never been an entrepreneur will never understand what it's truly like until they become one. They think it's a lot easier than it truly is. And I think that was the lesson my mom was trying to teach me. And that's why she wanted me to go into corporate, because
Yeah.
she knew how hard it was. And I think she didn't want me to go through all the hardships that early. I think that was part of it too. And she was trying to protect me. But, you know, I think that I chose this journey and this path, and it's hard, but overall, I do love it a lot. And I do think that it's something that I think innately it's kind of what I'm made to do. I
Right.
don't think I'm ever made to do, I'm not a corporate girl. Like, I think this is something that I enjoy doing. I like responsibility, and I do think I have that endurance and stamina. I like creating. I'm a visionary. I do think so. And I'm willing to take on kind of like that burden. But yeah, I mean, I highly recommend being an entrepreneur. It's so much fun. You just have to like, got to know what you're going to deal with.
No, I
Yeah.
love hearing that from you, and it's definitely very inspiring because I relate there. I, you know, I've done the 9-to-5. I really don't think it's for me, and it's not from a place of like, you know, anyone, my family or friends know me, like I work all day long, so like that's not my issue there. It's just I need it to be something that's like my own and my passion. And I always say, like, I would rather put in 12 hours 7 days a week than work a 9-to-5. And that's kind of like, I think the pressure there also pushes me to put the time and effort so much into my own businesses because of like the fear of having to go back to a 9-to-5. I'm like, I need to make this work because it's either this or back to the corporate life. But yeah, I definitely agree with you to say like it is not for everyone. And I also think that's okay. I think recognizing that is really important because for a lot of people, I do think they're like, oh, I want to start a business, I want to do this. And I think realizing like whether you're up for those challenges or not, is definitely really important. Although like I'm at the start of like the beginning stages of like my brand, I've been like running my own business in terms of content stuff for a while, and it's definitely there is pressure there when it's like all on you, but that's also like the exciting part and what kind of drives you even further. But speaking of the endurance, what do to be able to actually give yourself rest and stuff? Because I know for me with like anything that's my own work, I have a
Yeah.
really hard time like putting it down. Like any spare minute of time, I'm like working, and it's really hard for me to like disconnect and like take time off or take breaks. So I'm curious for you, like what have you had to implement to make sure you're still getting like the rest and recovery and all of that?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I always do make sure that I have the balance. I think that's so important because burnout is real, and
Yeah.
especially for like the creative one. I think for the creative person, you need to stay balanced in order to be able to continue to be creative. I really like working out. Like I like SoulCycle and Pilates and Barry's. I do that a lot. You know, I like traveling, so I'll like take time to travel. I mean, always with my laptop on the go for sure. Like not never
course.
late, unfortunately. But I was like traveling. And I think just like spending time with my loved ones as well. Like my boyfriend, he's so supportive. Like he's always listening to me and there for me when I'm going through a tough time. So I think taking the time, you know, that's a daily thing, and just talking to him and reflecting, I think that's like my therapy. I have a therapist that I talk to weekly as well, which is great for just having someone outside of my personal life to connect with. Meditation is important too. Just spending time with my friends. Like I allocate some time with my friends on weekends, you know, and I like to do different fun things in the city. So I'm also like very into EDM, so I do like to kind of like rave here and there as well. So it's like another little like bonus thing that like I like to do. So just a couple things that keep me
No,
like
I love
creative
that.
and also like balanced.
I love hearing that bit of balance. Thank you, Lena, for opening up so much about like the realistic, kind of behind the scenes of what it's actually like to be a brand founder. Your story is so inspiring. I'm super inspired by it, and I'm sure anyone listening is as well. I'll have all of your socials down below for anyone listening who wants to check out Lena, as well as ESW, and stay tuned for those two new product launches this year, like you said. So that'll be so exciting. I'm so excited to see the photos and everything you have to come up with, but you're such an inspiration, and I'm so happy we got the chance to chat today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And I will definitely send you the products too. So please send your
Oh
address
my
to
gosh,
Brittany.
yay!
So then I can send you our existing products now. And then we get our new lines launched. I will make sure that we send those to you too.
Yay, I'm so excited to try them. Well, thank you so much for getting loud with me today. I really appreciate your time. It was great getting to know you and your journey. That is it for this episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Make sure to subscribe to the channel for the visual version every single week. And we also do post the audio version on Spotify, Apple, and all streaming platforms, all on Sunday at 7 a.m. MST. Let me know what you want to see next in terms of topics, guests, all of that on the podcast. And you will hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Remember to tell yourself something you love about your skin today. Love you guys. Bye.